or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
And hello once again. Welcome to Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Alan Belongi.
We are analog, living in a digital world. Welcome to the first segment of our two-hour show. We are here every week to bring you goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and tech news that you can use. We are brought to you locally in Northern California by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for your car and our community. Here with me for our first segment is my son, Alan Belongi, who's a techie guy. It's probably hereditary. That's the accusation that Brenda makes. She'll be here for the rest of the show when we complete this segment. But let's jump right into it. Lots of stuff going on. Right off the top, though, AI detects movement through walls using wireless signals. Why would you want? It sounds a little creepy. Why would you want to do that?
Well, it's not necessarily that you'd want to, but you could. A lot of times in movies, you know, you see weird outlines of people through walls through the AI vision, and they track you through even if you're trying to hide. And they've actually developed somewhat close to that at MIT CSIL. Not sure how you pronounce that, but it uses wireless signals like Wi-Fi, and it bounces all around corners and penetrates walls and stuff, and then it's able to detect when it comes back to it from a particular surface that it's able to recognize as a person, to be able to track movements of people, even if it's not, doesn't have line of sight.
I would suspect this is not unlike... because the human body has certain properties, among them is capacitance. If you've ever done the thing where you've stood next to a TV or a radio antenna and you hold it, the signal gets better. But when you step away or when you move, the signal gets worse. Also in the 1950s, there was an instrument called a theremin, which operated on radio frequency, and you didn't actually touch it. You waved your hands around it at different distances, and it would create tone. So I suspect this is kind of a variation on that. It's detecting the effect that a human body has on radio waves, and vice versa, by the way. I would suspect it's something along those lines, and then what's been happening, I would suspect, is an algorithm that is interpreting the changes in those signals and turning them into data saying, yep, there's a person there.
Exactly. It's able to essentially make a skeleton for the person and can display how the person is moving on the other side of the wall, and is even able to usually tell, like, this is their right arm, this is their left arm, and essentially put their body together from these radio waves. It can't get, like, an exact detailed outline of the person just because, you know, it's not that specific, but it gets a pretty darn good guess of where everything is for the most part, even if we can't see you.
Well, if you've ever used a radar on a boat, which I have radar on my boat, it doesn't give you super details, but it does give you the acronym is radio detection and ranging. And it gives you, yes, there's something there, and it's that far away, and it's about this big. So this is probably a very similar thing. So radio waves bounce off of things, and depending on what they hit, they bounce off slightly changed. So if something, and a human body's fairly good at absorbing a lot of different frequencies. So I imagine that what this system is doing is probably it analyzes the room, and then it says, okay, there's this much absorption at that frequency. Pretty interesting stuff, though. The applications that I could see would be law enforcement and military, because one of the most dangerous things you can do is make entry into a house with an unknown.
Right. So that's definitely one application. The researchers are hoping they can use it as actual movement trackers for people voluntarily, that it can detect things like multiple sclerosis or Parkinson's in just how people are moving in slightly different ways that would be imperceptible to, you know, humans watching people. But, you know, a computer can watch you forever and not really get bored of it.
It may creep some people out, but it could have some applications, too, just as we can analyze how somebody moves on a television screen and say, okay, or listen to their heartbeat. And things that the human eye would miss, algorithms can pick up. So,
And right now, it's also able to pick out the right person it's looking for. 83% of the time out of a group of 100 people that are milling about.
Great.
Just from how they move and how the radio waves bounce off them and all the rest of that.
Excellent. When I was a news reporter, one of the big stories back in that day was a couple of students from our local area took part in the Mars rover missions down at JPL. This was 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. The Mars rovers, the original Spirit and Opportunity rovers, were estimated that they would have a lifespan of about 3 months, and then they would, you know, the components would die out, and they would basically just sit up there theoretically forever. Spirit malfunctioned a while back, but Opportunity has been like the Energizer Bunny of space probes. It just kept going and going. Now it looks like it may be finally defaulting, correct?
Yeah, so there's a really bad sandstorm going on in Mars right around now, pretty much planet-wide, unfortunately for them. And it's Opportunity stopped responding on June 12th, and they're hoping that the robot's fine, it's just in its low power mode, waiting for the sandstorm to clear so that it can actually start powering back up after it gets some actual sunlight down to it. One of the problems is it can't remain in its low power state for very long, because the average temperature on Mars is about negative 80 degrees, average temperature, so it gets colder than that. And the batteries don't really work all that well or stay around all that well if it's not keeping itself, you know, warmed up. So it's survived a similar sandstorm a couple of years ago where it shut down for a while and then got enough juice to power itself back up. But this sandstorm looks like it's going to be a lot worse, so it's quite possible that it's just not going to wake back up. But hey, like you said, It was supposed to be going for 3 months. It's lasted for 14 years. That's pretty good, even if it doesn't make it back up again.
The unique thing about these rovers were, rather than mega research projects spending billions of dollars to invent new stuff, the rovers were essentially built with parts that were already on the shelf and reasonably inexpensively. So it's kind of a testament to the durability of modern electronics that these things have, that this probe has stuck around for this long and contributed so greatly to knowledge of outer space. Pretty impressive stuff.
It cost more to send them there than it did to build them, really.
Yeah. Well, that's the transport is always the expensive part.
And it helps the longevity of technology when it doesn't live in oxygen. You know, there's not a lot to corrode
it. It's not oxidating, yeah. Hey, Google is facing yet another lawsuit, this time down under.
Yeah. So it's just a weird little story about this Melbourne man named Milorad Michael Trukujla. I don't know. I'm not even going to try to get that right. he, back in 2004, was shot in the back in a restaurant, and I was eventually found a link to the Melbourne underworld, the crime world.
Mm-hmm.
And so now whenever anybody searches Melbourne underworld or criminal underworld photos, his picture pops up because he's obviously linked to the crime there because he was the person shot. And for quite a while, he's been battling to have Google, like, remove it from search results.
So this is another right-to-be-forgotten case.
Right. And he's saying, he's actually claiming that it's defamation because he says that will link him and his family to the criminal underworld as, like, participants in it, because that's the kind of results you get. He's put up next to all sorts of well-known people. Now, Google says, yeah, you get a couple other people that are, you know, crime victims, as well as Marlon Brando when you get up there, too. And most people aren't going to think that Marlon Brando is also a member of the Melbourne underworld. But the judge, the higher courts down in Australia have deemed that, yeah, he can go ahead and actually sue Google over it. Now, it's unsure whether or not Google will just settle or, you know, try to fight and win against him. But he got the go-ahead to go ahead and do that, as opposed to the lower court ruling that said, no, you can't. Nobody's going to think you're a criminal just because you pop up on Google search.
Aha, there we go. We are in that brave new world of reputation and the value of mistaken identity. And some people may see this as just an opportunity for this guy to make a few bucks. But in some cases, if you ended up in the wrong database, let's say the no-fly database, that could negatively impact on you for a very long time.
Yeah, like, it doesn't take a lot to get on the no-fly database, unfortunately, so.
Yeah. When he's not behind rockets into outer space, Elon Musk is diving under the dirt. I guess his Boring Company, also known for their flamethrowers, which struck me as kind of an interesting, if somewhat somewhat scary idea. They've apparently had a commercial success, and they're going to get a chance to show off.
Yeah, so the Boring Company, that's boring as in, like, drilling and making holes, not falling asleep to, has won a bid to make a train, effectively, for the Chicago's O'Hare International Airport to get to the terminal a lot faster than what they currently have, which is like a $5 ticket for a 40-minute ride. They're trying to increase the usefulness of getting from A to B or outside of the city to into the airport. And Chicago's city council is offering essentially private companies to build and maintain the railway, or however they want to get from people from A to B. But it wasn't an extremely popular build because it wasn't actually being subsidized by the government. The government wasn't paying them for it. They were just saying, you can buy the rights to build and maintain this transportation system. So that caused a lot of people to be like, not government funded? No. But the Boring Company, who's wants to get a whole bunch of, you know, transportation projects underway, including, you know, the what I'm hoping eventually gets completed is the Hyperloop in the California, which would get you from San Francisco to L.A. in a half hour. Which sounds crazy.
Yeah. Having driven the valley a few times myself, yeah, I'd get behind that.
So they want to actually get something done and completed, you know, proof of concept, essentially.
Yeah.
To get something similar. It probably won't be a Hyperloop. It's not going to be, like, big enough to – well, it might be big enough, but either way, they're doing something that they've really got the okay for now, and they're going to try to get it up and running, which sounds interesting. I'm all for them going forward and doing what they can.
Excellent. Console games are an interesting niche. They keep hanging on, mostly because the manufacturers of the equipment, whether it be an Xbox or a Sony PlayStation or a Nintendo, whatever their latest iteration is,
Switch,
they come up with unique games, and they will only work on their platform. So if a new hot game comes out and you don't happen to have that particular platform, you are out of luck. And it's not unlike shows that you can only see if you lived in an area back in the old days where you couldn't get a particular network. Well, too bad. Exceptions to this are games like Bethesda's wildly popular Skyrim game, which was released on several platforms over a period of time, but many very popular games are locked to a single platform, and and customers enjoy being able to do that, particularly with multi-person games. Sony, I guess, taking some heat for not allowing their customers to play nice with others.
Yeah, this is more specifically related to the popular Fortnite game, which you've probably heard of at least a little bit if you've heard about it all. It's, I'd say, unfortunately, probably the most popular video game out there right now. Especially with the kids. It's kind of like how Minecraft got super popular. It's
right.
Like on the similar trajectory. Recently at E3, which is like a big development conference for video games.
Right.
Nintendo announced the launch of Fortnite for Switch. And it almost means they got like 2 million downloads.
Hmm.
It's a free-to-play game, so people don't actually have to pay to play it, but you pay to unlock cosmetics within the game. Anyway, it's a big game where a whole bunch of players get thrown onto a little island, and they fight until one person's left. That's the essential premise of the game.
And I guess it's also available on mobile platforms, which a lot of modern games, you have to have a big old PC. But I guess this can also be played. There's a tablet version of it or something?
Yeah, it's amazingly scalable how just regular phones can play it, and it's really not terrible. But the big problem that Sony's getting a lot of flack for is they're notorious for not allowing cross-platform play, which would be people on the PlayStation 4 playing in the same games as, say, people on the Xbox or on the PC or on the Nintendo Switch. And in this particular case, so the game Fortnite is published by a company called Epic Games.
Right.
You make your account with them, and you log into that from any particular console in order to play Fortnite. Now, Sony, if you've ever logged into the game through Sony's platform, the PlayStation 4, it effectively locks the Epic account to your PlayStation, and you can't use that account anymore on other rival devices like the Xbox or the Switch.
Oh, really?
Right. It has to do with how Sony won't allow cross-play and won't it has a lot to do with how the microtransactions work within the game. When you buy something in the game, that's how the publishers actually make their money, like buy a hat or something.
Yeah.
The person who you buy it through, like Nintendo, if you bought the thing on the Switch, gets a slight cut of that. And so Sony wants to make sure that if you are going to have and spend money on this game while playing on a PlayStation, you'll have to buy it while connected to the PlayStation network.
So they get a little slice of that pie.
Right. However, this is causing quite a bit of backlash with how popular the game is, because it's got about like 18 million players, which is ridiculous. And it might cause an actual break to cause Sony to change their long-standing tradition of not allowing hardly any cross-play when Microsoft and Nintendo get along just fine when playing games like that with each other.
Yeah, it does raise some obviously proprietary. Sony would like everybody on the planet to own a PlayStation. Well, that is not going to happen at whatever price those things are now. They're what, about $500 a pop?
You can get a new basic PlayStation 4 for $300.
Okay, that's still a chunk of change for something that essentially is a single-purpose device. I prefer...
Well, you can like do Netflix and Hulu and all sorts of different... Any sort of streaming thing you would want to do on a TV that, you know, you maybe don't have a smart TV for, the PlayStation 4 can do. You know, it's got all the media things you would want in a smart-enabled device. So it does do that, at least.
Well, the two gaming giants, and I guess they, you know, the lead changes. I haven't heard much about Xbox lately, but I'm not a console game person. I'm more of a PC type person. But I guess some announcements coming out of E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, which is the sort of the. It's the consumer electronic show of video that specifies on video games, although not affiliated with CES. Anything else particularly interesting coming out of this year's show?
Outside of, you know, in particular little games, not incredibly, but there has been rumors going around, and Microsoft actually stated that their new version of their Xbox is coming out in about 2020. Which, you know, is only like 2 years away. So they're the first ones to actually announce the next generation. No idea what they're going to call their new Xbox. And Microsoft is in a weird position because they've never, like, they were the newcomers to the block.
Right.
PlayStation had been around for a couple of years, or actually, PlayStation was really PlayStation and Microsoft are close to as old as each other in the marketplace. There's been three Xboxes and there's been four PlayStations, as opposed to Nintendo, which says there have been eight.
Yeah, and Nintendo practically dropped off the radar with a couple of missteps a few years back. Looks like that they, the Wii, which didn't work particularly well with anything, had a fairly short lifespan in spite
That's
of...
the Wii U. The yeah. Wii did phenomenal.
Yeah. The Wii U, which was the follow-up, kind of flopped because it was overpriced and underpowered.
Yeah, the problem with the Wii U is that there was hardly any differentiation between that and the Wii. Nobody understood that it was a different console. So people thought it was like, oh, it's just something for the Wii, which, you know, was already starting to wane in popularity. It was a huge branding mistake, and a whole bunch of different problems that caused Nintendo to pretty much fall off the radar. But the new Switch console is definitely gaining momentum, especially in Japan, as kind of a hybrid at-home and take-with-you game device.
Mm-hmm.
So that's caused a lot of people to re-look at Nintendo as a, like, you know, modern gaming platform worth note. It's certainly not a graphical powerhouse. That's one of the things of it being mobile that you can pick up and take with you, is that it's not even going close to the visuals that the PlayStation and the Xbox is capable of. But Nintendo manages to do its own thing and has been doing its own thing for a while already.
I'm going to sell its games. I'm going to make a prediction right now that on the horizon we have 5G networks, which move incredible amounts of data very, very quickly. I think that server-side processing, then sending the game information to you over a 5G network, is really going to open up tablet and portable device gaming on an epic scale. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there is streaming, game streaming, as a service where effectively a computer far away does all the actual horsework,
right,
and just sends you the video feed of what you're doing.
Yep.
The main issue with that is lag.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how much data it can spew at you and how well it's able to get those 4K images to your device, it has to get a signal from your phone or whatever to the server, it do whatever gameplay it is, and then send it back to your phone quick enough to where you don't notice that it's taking that long to get there.
Yeah, and that's why I think 5G is going to be a game changer for that. All the time for this segment. Alan is off to do some things in the real world. We'll have you for a whole hour one of these weeks. In the meantime, Boomer Tech Radio will be back with Bob and Brenda Belongi right after these messages.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneville. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab, faster for less.
At Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. And welcome back. Boomer Tech Radio is, of course, the name of this program. And in this segment, my wife, Brenda, back with me.
Hello.
Hello.
I like having... I think we may do that, have Alan first, and then makes it easier, and it gives us some time to sort of warm up. Hey, we are pre-recorded today. We will be doing more live shows in the air, but it's that time...
It's going to be a while.
It's that time of year when...
jobs are stacking up.
Yeah.
And busy time.
Next week, of course, we will be taking care of the annual Dancing with the Stars Shasta County style event that we have been involved with on a video standpoint. Oh, gosh, 9 years now as far as direct video involvement? 9 or 10?
At least 9.
Yeah. Anyway.
It might be 10.
And the hardware has evolved. We shot the first couple of years in standard definition using mini DV. Well, the very first time, we were using hard drive-based cameras that were shooting in high resolution, but we had to convert everything down to regular DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And then the year after, we started shooting in mini DV and doing things in a 4:3 format. Then eventually we went widescreen.
Technology has evolved.
Yeah. And we got away from tapes entirely a couple of years ago when we went high definition. So the thing I'm trying to say is that technology sort of keeps moving, and people who do things like video have to keep investing in new equipment. Now, fortunately, for... a couple of $1,000, you can get, not even that, for a couple of $100, you can get results that a $50,000 television van couldn't have duplicated just a few years ago. It's gotten that good that fast. Most of the stuff we're doing this year doesn't even involve tapes at all.
Right, it's solid state.
We are shooting to solid state drives and mini SD cards. Well, SD cards and micro SD cards. And the difference is, of course, an SD card is about the size. An SD, I'm trying to remember what SD actually stands. Secure Digital was the original name of the SD card. And they've been out for about a decade, a little bit longer than that. And I remember going to Consumer Electronics Show, CES, and there was actually a consortium of companies that set the standards for SD cards.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember a decade ago, there were like 15 different card formats in the market.
Yeah.
Remember
that?
That
was so annoying.
When you got a card reader, it was like 15 in one.
Oh, well, or you had to have the right one for your device.
Right.
Yeah.
It's boiled down. Most of them have fallen. Now, Sony was early out of the gate with their memory sticks. They are still out there, but very minimal. And the memory stick was about half the size of a stick of chewing gum.
Yep.
CF cards, which are fairly large, but they are preferred by the professional market. In fact, some of the digital cameras only took CF cards. Remember when digital cameras would shoot to a floppy? And you could, back in the days when pictures were really low resolution, they shot actually to a floppy disk.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a couple. Now, a floppy disk only holds a little over a megabyte of data.
Well,
so.
Yeah, but if you had low resolution images, you could get quite a few of them on there.
It was a big deal when 10 megapixels was achieved. Now we're up into the 30 and 40 plus megapixels. And, of course, that's the amount of data you can cram into an image file. And, of course, the bigger the image file, the more you have to have room to store it. So for years now, the Secure Digital Consortium, the SD Consortium, has been setting standards for higher capacity and faster write speeds, because when you're shooting in high definition, and this is a tip, if you have a modern video camera that shoots to the SD cards, don't buy the cheap cards.
Yeah.
Because they are being written to, data is being put on those cards at extremely high rates of speed, on the order of 90 plus megabits every second. Now, think about this. We had cameras not long ago that shot to a floppy, or maybe we have a digital camera that could hold a 4 gigabyte SD card, our old Kodaks. And now we are writing almost 100 megabytes every second. And those files grow very, very quickly. And that's with reasonable compression. Another way that you can get video from point A to point B is to shoot onto what's called an SSD, solid-state drive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably, by the way, one of the neatest things you can do to give your computer, your existing computer, a boost if you don't want to get a new one, is to replace your regular hard drive with an SSD. Because it's very nice to hit the power button on my PC and have the desktop up 15 to 20 seconds later.
Yeah, really quick.
Yeah. I did that to my Mac. Now, when my Mac had, my MacBook Pro had the slow-speed hard drive, which is, you know, it's all relative, but it would take 3 minutes from the time I hit the power button till the time that the desktop would come into focus.
That feels like forever.
Oh, it does.
You can turn it on your computer, walk away, go get a cup of coffee, come back, and maybe it'll be ready for you to enter a password or something like that, right?
Yep. And it's fairly easy. If you've got an older MacBook or maybe an older Mac Mini or something along those lines, that's probably one of the easiest things to do to really give it a boost. And there's a company called Mac Sales that sells these hard drive conversion kits. And if you can handle a small screwdriver, very, very easy to upgrade. Now, the latest generation of Macs, of course, for some years now, you can't even get the case open because it's practically a sealed unit. But my 2012, I've taken the memory up to a full 16 gigabytes and changed out the original 750 gig spinning hard drive to a 480 gig SSD. And if I need to store more data, I just put it on an external drive, because external drives have gotten cheaper and cheaper all the time.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I recommend that people do with their PC, is that they put their operating system, the essentials, on a solid-state drive.
That makes sense.
So you can boot up and get quickly. Your pictures, your movies, your games, and all that stuff that you don't have to access in a big hurry, that is what goes on the regular spinning hard drives, because those are still pretty cheap. You can pick up, I think the last I looked, a 3 terabyte drive you can pick up for around $150, which is a lot of storage.
That is 3 terabytes is a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Although it's amazing, you know, as high definition comes into place and all this stuff.
Fill it up fast.
Yep, it can be filled up very quickly.
Not so long ago, I recall buying the mother-in-law, this was a previous mother-in-law, a computer down in San Diego. And the big selling point of this desktop computer was its 540 megabyte main drive.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Because the one she'd had before had a mere 100 megabytes.
Uh-huh.
So it's just, as we get more capacity, we use it up.
Yep. That's like George Carlin said, you know, a place for your stuff.
A place for your stuff.
Which is a great, if you haven't heard that, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube or somewhere. If you haven't heard that, you have to do that. A place for your stuff, George Carlin. It's thoroughly amusing.
Now, one of the products that I have used, and I really can, and I get no money from these people, by the way, but a great wireless keyboard, and I have used one of these for a couple of years now, is the Logitech K750. And it has a built-in solar panel that will recharge it off of room lights or whatever.
And that's I have cool. never had to plug it into anything, and I've never had to change a battery in this keyboard. And I've had it for about 4 years connected to the docking station. Well, it's not connected. It's wirelessly linked to a little – have you – the receiver – is
this little tiny, tiny USB thing. Yeah, easy to lose if you...
So you want to make sure you keep it plugged in. But it's a great keyboard. For $40, it's hard to go wrong. It's got a good feel to it. It is responsive. Like I said, you never have to change a battery or fight with wires moving it around. It's got about a 20-foot range on it. It's a proprietary system, so it's not tying up a Bluetooth port. And right now, Amazon sells them for about $40. I think I paid $79 for mine years ago. But it's an enduring model. You know, typically, companies have a life cycle on most products. That's about 2 years.
Yeah,
you notice
right.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They want to change everything out every 2 years. This one's, this particular keyboard, like I said, that's the Logitech K750, has been out for almost a decade, and it's still a very well-selling product, and if you need to have a keyboard, and often we do. Now, you can't tie this to your tablet or anything like that. It looks for a regular it has a regular USB port for the receiver. But let's say you've been holding on to your PC or your Mac for some years now, and I just had a Mac keyboard completely and utterly fail on me. Of course, long out of warranty. And if you go look at a new Mac wireless keyboard, cha-ching!
Yeah, no kidding, because it has Apple stamped on it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's an article on our Flipboard page about this. It comes to us from VGR, and I forget who they are. But the person that wrote the article about this, two things to be aware of is that there's a Mac version and Microsoft or Windows, Windows keyboard or Windows computer version. So that's something to be aware of. And the person that wrote this article has been using theirs something on the order 6 to 7 years, and it's been flawless.
Yeah.
So, yeah, $40 for a wireless keyboard that you don't have to recharge, that's a smoking deal.
And it's got a really good typing feel. And we've all had keyboards that we've tried to work with that have just been mushy. You're not sure if you're getting a good hit on it. It's not a mechanical keyboard at this price, but for a non-mechanical keyboard, it's got a really good feel to it, and its keys are spaced well apart so you can move along pretty good. And, of course, it has a number pad on it, which is a big plus.
I never learned to use one of those, so I couldn't care less, but I don't do a lot of numbers. But if you do, then and do know how to number keyboard, that's a very handy feature. Logitech K750 wireless solar keyboard, great reviews, and Bob has experience with that. So you get on Amazon and check it out.
And the nice thing is that once you're into this Logitech ecosystem, you can add a mouse with the same receiver without tying up another port on your computer.
Ah, that is a nice feature. I did not know Logitech had that.
Yeah, you can tell your mouse to tie to that Logitech receiver.
Nice.
And now you've just tied up one USB port instead of two or three. And
that's cool.
You're not looking at the purple plug and the green plug.
Yeah, which one is which? Yeah. Is this my keyboard or is this my mouse?
Yeah. And I still can't remember because different companies use the colors for different things.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's standardized. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The U.S. is on top again in terms of supercomputers.
Uh-huh.
According to an article in The Verge, U.S. Department of Energy and IBM have unveiled the Summit. That's appropriate name. America's latest supercomputer, expected to bring back the title of the world's most powerful computer back to the U.S., which currently was in China, with the Sunway Taolite supercomputer. The Summit has a estimated performance. Now, here we go with some interesting terminology.
That we haven't even heard of.
Well, I've heard this before, but what does it actually mean? 200 petaflops. What is a petaflop? That's 200,000 trillion calculations every second.
Right. So
that is moving.
200,000 trillion. So a trillion times 200,000. That's amazing.
That's a big number.
That's huge number. That's super fast.
Summit is also capable of over 3 billion billion mixed precision calculations a second. That is 3.3 exaflops.
Exaops. Is that, yeah, or did they misspell that?
Mm-hmm. They, it has, you think you've got a lot of memory in your computer? this baby has 10 petabytes of memory. Okay, let's think about this. You got a megabyte, which is a million, a gigabyte, which is a billion, a terabyte, which is a trillion, and then I think it's exabytes.
So if 200 petabytes is 200,000 trillion calculations per second, then 10 would be 10,000 trillion calculations per second. No, 10,000, that doesn't matter. No, that's not right. Because, oh, flops and bytes, difference, never mind. That's a lot of memory.
That is it, yeah.
That's just a lot of memory.
The price tag for this system was a mere $200 million. I got an IBM Central system with 4,608 servers containing 22 core IBM processors and 6 NVIDIA graphics processing units, accelerators, in each of those servers.
Wow. And it,
there's a picture of this thing. It's huge.
It takes up a whole room. This is a huge bank of things. And it actually has some style. They have some... some
neat graphics
on it, and of course IBM blue and white. And the other thing that I found interesting about this is that for such a, you know, these computers, a la the Bitcoin people that are generating all these Bitcoins, the computers produce a lot of heat, use a lot of energy. This is relative to its size, rather energy efficient.
13 megawatts of power. Now, just for an example, 1 megawatt of energy is sufficient for about 50 homes.
For
average use. 50 single-family residences.
For a day or for...
Well, megawatt hour would supply 50 homes for... Okay. I'll have to look that up again. But anyway, So that's whether it's a minute or an hour or a day, whatever. So the scale remains the same. But the Chinese computer pulls 15 megawatts, and that sounds like an impressive amount. But just a few years ago, you could have expended 10 times that energy and not gotten the same results.
Now, oh, yeah.
What would you use this for? For modeling, mostly. Now,
oh, yeah. So this computer is now powerful enough that it allowed the researchers to run the world's first X-scale scientific calculation, whatever that means. So hard telling what they're trying to do with that. I should look that up.
It weighs more than 340 tons, fills two
yeah,
tennis courts.
Rather large.
Connected by 100. There's some great numbers on here. Connected by 185 miles of fiber optic cable, the storage capacity is equal to 74 years worth of HD video to keep it from overheating. And gamers would appreciate this. More than 4,000 gallons of water are pumped through the system every minute. A new computer is on the horizon to surpass it in 2021. But amazing. Now, your familiarity with supercomputers started with dealing with weather.
Yep.
Because it's
Cray.
A very complex thing.
Right. Yeah. They use Cray's for that, which, of course, was a company. The they're built in a circle, and when the federal government got a new Cray for computing climate and weather forecasts, they put the old one into service. They didn't just sell it or
they didn't put it on eBay.
They didn't put it on eBay or anything. They're incredibly expensive, but it still has a lot of utility. So what it does is it's kind of a sous chef. It's a preprocessor, a sous chef for the main Cray, and does a lot of preprocessing before. And then the results of that processing is put into the new Cray. The exascale computing project is a U.S. Department of Energy project, and the idea is, it says here on their homepage, is to accelerate delivery of a capable exascale computing ecosystem that will provide breakthrough solutions to address America's most critical challenges in scientific discovery, energy assurance, economic competitiveness, and national security. So it doesn't really say, I'd have to read more about it, but there's actually a homepage for the exascale computing project. You could go read more about it.
Let's hope they don't bust
Google
the tech some night, some dark night for mining Bitcoin with this.
Yeah, well, now that would be funny. But it's kind of understanding exascale. So there's some interesting things like that.
Meanwhile, in the realm of actual affordability, relatively speaking, laptops are getting more and more capable every single day. The latest offering from Lenovo with the ThinkPad P52. Now, Lenovo...
P52.
Yeah. Lenovo, of course, bought the ThinkPad name from IBM when IBM got out of the personal computing business. Now, IBM defined personal computers, and then they sold them off to the Chinese. This ThinkPad P52 comes with, get this, 128 gigs of RAM. Now, most of us, your average home computer has between 4 and 16 gigabytes of random access memory. The more random access memory, providing that the operating system and applications can make use of it, the faster your computer can get the job done. So this baby's got 128 gigs of RAM, 6 terabytes of storage, and a 4K 15.6-inch display, 8th generation Intel 6-core processor, and a NVIDIA graphics card. All that, not bad. The pricing has not been announced yet. It also has Thunderbolt 3 ports, HDMI 2.0, USB A ports.
Start at $1,200.
Yeah, starting at about, well, the Dells, which are competitors.
Oh, the Dells starts at $1,200.
Yeah, about $1,200. So look for this thing, probably be about $1,500.
That would now, be my guess. Does it say, it doesn't say how much it weighs?
No, this is more like a portable workstation.
Yep.
For a long time, about the most you could get in your laptop is about 16 gigs of RAM. But clearly it is time to move beyond that. What are you going to do with that much power? You're doing things like virtual reality, high-definition video, things that take an off, you know, moving an awful lot of bits. Not on the scale, of course, that the Department of Energy is doing with Summit.
No, not
a little
by
but
long
it's still going to be astonishingly fast. This is not a computer I would recommend for everybody. It's for somebody who has a need for a high-end graphics-capable, maybe a gaming workstation, you know, a video workstation or high-end gaming computer that you can pick up and tote around with you. So we find out more about this particular computer. Looks like it might be appropriate for some people. It is definitely not for everybody. Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. We are going to be back after these messages. By the way, you want to catch up on what we're doing, you can, of course, listen to our podcast by subscribing on iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher, or TuneIn Radio. Any of those. In fact, if you ask TuneIn Radio on your smart speaker to play the Boomer Tech Radio podcast, last time we tried it, it actually worked.
Yeah, amazing.
You can also go directly to boomertechradio.com, download episodes, check out the show notes, and generally let us know how we're doing. Bob at KCNR1460.com if you want to drop us an email. We'll be right back after the SRN news at the top of the hour.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting advancedautoreading.com or go to repairpal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. President Trump says he might be able to meet with President Putin of Russia this summer.
1 week after meeting with Group of Seven allies in Canada, the president is making the case that Russia should be allowed to rejoin the G7. And he says former President Obama is to blame.
President Obama lost Crimea because President Putin didn't respect President Obama, didn't respect our country, and didn't respect Ukraine.
Russia was kicked out of the G7 in 2014 when Putin sent troops into Ukraine and annexed Crimea. The president says it's possible he'll meet with Putin this summer. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Six police officers shot dead in the central Mexican state of Puebla by suspected fuel thieves. The central state of Puebla has been plagued by violence in recent years as the thieves target the pipelines of the government-run oil company Petróleos Mexicanos, known as Pemex. Fuel thieves in Mexico have drilled over 10,000 illegal taps in 2017. That's an average of 28 every day. Some 2,000 children are separated from their families after illegal border crossings.
Figures from the Department of Homeland Security show nearly 2,000 children were separated from their families after crossing the border illegally from mid-April through the end of May. Asylum seekers who go directly to official crossings are not separated from their families, except under specific circumstances, such as if the relationship between the minors and adults can't be confirmed, the safety of the children is in question, or if the adults face prosecution.
The British government's changed course today in a case concerning cannabis oil, saying an epileptic boy can now be treated with it after his mother said he needed it to survive seizures. The Home Secretary agreed to urgently issue a license to allow the 12-year-old from Northern Ireland to be treated with the oil. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Want to change how you feel significantly? ReliefFactor.com will do that for you. Support for temporary relief of minor aches and pains. If you're out there exercising, you go a little bit too far, as I did on Saturday, you definitely need Relief Factor on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Actually, I take it every day, as do tens of thousands of people. They know that they should have Omega, which is fish oil, resveratrol, which you can get from drinking red wine, but you don't know how much. I carry and curcumin all together, carefully calibrated, perfectly formulated, the combination of four natural supplements that everyone agrees you ought to be taking every single day. This makes it easy to do in the amount that is appropriate for your body. The starter pack is $19.95. You try it for 3 weeks. Put everything else away that your doctor says you can put away. Don't not take what he tells you to take. And then see if you don't feel terrific. You'll feel much better. ReliefFactor.com works. Tens of thousands of people say so. Their testimonials are abundant and real and sincere. Go and watch them and get ReliefFactor.com.
The National Institutes of Health cutting short a study on alcohol and heart health because of credibility concerns.
The study was designed to prove or disprove if a single drink a day could help prevent heart attacks. But the director of the National Institutes of Health pulled the plug after learning the agency used money from the alcohol industry to help pay for the research. The NIH found out that some of its employees had close contacts with liquor industry officials, and it appeared that contact was intended to intentionally bias the study, so it would show that there was a health benefit from alcohol consumption. Their research leaders say they're disappointed, but the NIH says the study's credibility has been undermined. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
At the U.S. Open, Dustin Johnson's leading in the third round by four strokes over Justin Rose. You can check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A
A state appeals court has reinstated California's law allowing terminally ill people to end their lives.
California's 4th District Court of Appeals issued an immediate stay Friday, putting the state's End of Life Option Act back into effect, at least temporarily. The court also gave opponents of the law until July 2nd to file a petition opposing Friday's action. A Riverside County Superior Court judge had declared the law unconstitutional last month. Without commenting on the merits of the law itself, the judge at that time said that lawmakers had acted illegally in passing the measure during a special session devoted to other issues. Bob Agnew reporting.
Scheduled for tomorrow's news shows, former White House strategist Steve Bannon will be on ABC's This Week. White House counselor Kellyanne Conway appearing on NBC's Meet the Press. CBS has Face the Nation scheduled to have Rudy Giuliani, one of President Trump's lawyers, along with House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Welcome back. It's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. Here for another hour of tech news you can use. I am Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
And we are brought to you, of course, by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, 5756 F Westside Road. You can give them a call at
530-244-4423.
See why we work well together, because we catch up for each other. During the break, we were talking about computers that we have known.
Now, yeah, computers that we've known.
Of course, here on Boomer Tech, both of us are sort of on the we saw a lot of this stuff come into being. We were talking about, I had Radio Shack TRS 100.
Yes.
That was actually a flip-up LCD monochrome keyboard. You booted it off of a floppy. It didn't even have a hard drive. But for the stuff that it had built-in programs, like for word processing and spreadsheets, had a modem. That was a big deal. My very first computer, which was an Apple II compatible, which I still own. One of these days, I've actually got to take that thing, stick the 5 1/4 inch floppy into it, power that sucker up, and see what happens.
It'd probably fail because the floppy's gotten brittle and old or something.
Well, we'll see. Supposedly, I had copies of the operating system on Elephant. There was a brand called Elephant Media. And their logo was Never Forget.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and it's been stored in less than ideal conditions. But it would be something if that thing booted up.
The computer probably would boot up.
It would be a little bit like Opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, the Mars rover, yes.
So anyway, we're talking about, and then I saw somebody who had, I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, it had a 5-inch monitor in the middle of it, and it had 4 floppy drives. And it was the size of a good-sized suitcase. And these were called luggables. You had
They didn't have battery power. That's the right word, luggable.
But you could move it from one place to another. And then in an age when, you know, you were on IBM workstations and things like that, the idea of being able to pick up your computer and take it with you was pretty innovative. We're talking mid-'80s here. And Brenda was talking about a Compaq. Now, for a time, Compaq owned, along with Gateway, the personal and business computing market.
Yeah, they were a big name. And this would have been in the Oh, latter 80s, I think.
Right around 1990.
Yeah, somewhere in there that we had the so-called portable computers, and they were a hassle to fly with because you couldn't let them out of your sight. And because it was, you know, pricey piece of equipment.
Well, yeah, it was about $4,000 in those dollars.
Yeah, they were expensive, and they were robust though. I mean, we'd take them to nasty, remote, dirty places, and they did all right. And then, of course, laptops came along, and that made a big difference.
Yeah.
But, For a while,
I remember
that was a portable computer, and it's like, ooh. You have a 386. Wow.
Yeah,
Then the 486 came out, and then the 586 came out.
The Pentium.
The Pentium,
they quit
yes.
numbering them, calling them the Pentium 1. Pentium 1 computers, early 90s, and they had a reputation for getting really hot.
Yes.
Prior to this, you didn't have to have a CPU cooler.
Right.
And then since then, you've had to have fans. My gaming machine has a radiator on it.
Yep.
Because there's so much heat being generated. Now, you don't have to flush 4,000 gallons a minute through it like the Summit computer, but you still have to get rid of all that heat somehow, which is a good reason to say every once in a while, take your computer offline and vacuum it out.
Yep.
That's a good thought to do. So the technology keeps moving along. When
it's amazing.
We remember bag phones.
My mom hated to give up her bag phone because it worked like the phone in the house.
Right.
She had that till the bitter end.
Till they actually forced her to get rid of it.
Yes.
Well, because the smartphones and similar devices, clamshell phones, were much more efficient at utilizing, and we were starting to be able to sell data. And the data plans were incredibly expensive. We've got a story coming up in a little bit about Verizon's offering us some data and why we're paying attention to that, because one of our relatives is needing to get Internet access in our area that
doesn't have the greatest access.
Doesn't have any infrastructure to speak of. So, sorry, Apple fans, by the way, while we're on the topic of smartphones.
Oh, yes.
The iPhone X has peaked.
Yeah, that's right. It's past its prime.
It's 15 minutes or over.
Now, it's still the world's best-selling Apple device, but it's no longer at the top of the heap when it comes to smartphones.
The Galaxy S9 Plus is now the world's top-selling smartphone.
Good Freudian.
Samsung's top-of-the-line model came out early this spring, so it's the shiny new object.
Yes, exactly.
The iPhone 8 still having some good sales. But the three of Apple's handsets are a little bit behind the S9 Plus and the S9. But in terms of deployment, of course, when you add up all the numbers, Android phones are way ahead of iDevices.
Right.
When you take into account the rest of the world. But there's people who still love. What I don't get, okay, is these young ladies with, let us say, goodly posteriors. And they got a $1,000 phone hanging out of their back pocket. I guess they just don't sit. Because can you imagine sitting down and hearing the crunch?
That would be,
I don't get that.
Quite alarming. I don't know. Apparently it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Or they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, there was some questions about the latest iterations of the iPhones being a bit too flexible. There was what they called bender gate.
Yes.
Where the case was actually warping slightly.
Mm-hmm.
So the iPhone X or the X. No longer the world's top-selling smartphone. Meanwhile, wearables have yet to go away. Samsung's still selling the Gear, which is probably between the Samsung Gear and the Fitbits, I think they own most of the wearable world. Now, I took a really good look, and I haven't seen it on the market. It may have fizzled. Remember that Casio smartwatch.
Yeah.
And that was a rugged-looking thing.
Beast.
Yeah. It looked like you could take a hammer to it and not harm it. But it was designed to for outdoor sports and things like that. And I think it had GPS built right into the watch, which was pretty cool. Samsung's latest wearable on your wrist is pretty fair size. It's like having a hockey puck with a strap on it.
Yeah, it's not very, very small. What was it that we saw that was half an inch thick? And we just, wow.
Oh, yeah, and they were doing this. It was at the Costco.
Yeah.
And I think it might have been the gear. And they had it photographed in such a way that it wasn't obvious that this thing was a half inch thick.
Right.
Because if you got something that big sticking up off your wrist, you're going to snag it everywhere.
That's exactly right.
S4's battery is going to have a capacity of 470 milliamp hours, which is a lot bigger than the Gear S3. And, of course, this thing, they need the extra capacity because not only does this thing Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, but also has an LTE, it has an actual standalone phone transceiver inside of it.
Ah.
So the fact you can cram.
Dick Tracy.
Yeah. It is. We are getting to the point where we're going to have the two-way wrist TV. The only reason we don't, of course, is battery capacity. If you're using this thing, if you were to use a video with the associated bandwidth on a wearable, you'd tear up that battery pretty fast. We're still struggling with, you know, battery
technology.
Energy
supply, yes.
That's why we don't have walk-around robots, is we just don't have the power supply for them. We did mention about Verizon, and this may force... Now, the reason we're walking around with Galaxy Note 8s is because Brenda went in to check on our plan. What can you do better? And they had a smoking deal on Note 8.
Yeah, that was an unplanned thing, but should be paid for here pretty soon.
Yep. Verizon, now, of course, unlimited data plans.
No, it's going to be a year and a half, something like that.
Yep. Now, unlimited data plans aren't really unlimited. When you reach a certain level, they start cutting back your
speed.
Your speeds. Verizon is offering a new unlimited data plan, a new tier, which is dubbed Above Unlimited, which will allow you to use, it doesn't give the exact numbers, but there's a real push. The companies don't want to invest in the infrastructure to be able to offer super high data amounts to everybody. But there's competition, and we predicted this on this show. Very fierce competition that customers are going to lean into whichever wireless company is going to offer them the most bang for the buck. So there's all this pressure on these companies to deliver a lot of data at an affordable price.
Tricky.
It is tricky.
And still be competitive. You know, you have to be competitive, too.
Above tier will cost $95 a month for one line. For 75 gigs of data before they throttle you back.
That's a fair amount of data.
That is. The current Beyond Unlimited plan costs $85 for a line, and data slows down after 22 gigs. The Go Unlimited plan can slow your data at any time, starts at $75 a month. So actually, $95 a month, we're getting close to the dollar a gig break point, and that's kind of a critical number. If we can get below a dollar a gig in terms of how much data you use per month, that's sort of a benchmark, just like a dollar a megabyte back in the days when a lot of memory was selling, and we actually got to almost like a dollar a gigabyte. Now, if we can get that down in terms of data speed, and that's going to happen, of course, these companies are looking ahead to 5G,
mm-hmm.
when you're going to be able to consume an awful lot of data an awful lot faster. And so the competition will be fierce, and 5G, I think, is going to roll out a lot faster than people think. The conventional wisdom was we wouldn't see widespread deployment of fifth-generation wireless until we were well into the 2020s. I think that market forces are going to push that even further. And the nature of 5G infrastructure, instead of having to put up a palm tree-sized and sometimes palm tree-looking tower.
The fake pine tree.
Or the fake pine tree. 5G...
Or really a fake conifer because it sort of looks like a pine, but it sort of looks like a fir.
Yeah, 5G equipment, what operates at a higher frequency, can the actual transmitter, receiver, and antenna array is kind of a size of a backpack. Now, it's got a shorter range, but they're less expensive.
And very small.
And you can put them on existing utility poles.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can actually daisy chain along, transferring the data up and down the pipe because they're so darn fast.
Makes the infrastructure cost a lot lower if they can use the existing infrastructure.
Well, this may be if it's offered where our relative is going to live, this may be something he wants to look at because this tier also comes with a half a terabyte of data storage in the cloud, and you get some free use overseas. So now the line, Verizon's made some other announcements about pricing that we won't go too deep into, but it's getting, you're getting more for the same amount of money. Just as with a PC, we talked about that $4,000 compact that had a 50 megahertz 386 processor. That $4,000 now would buy you a top-of-the-line MacBook.
Then some.
And then some, yeah. So that would do oh so much more. This puts Verizon in a much more favorable position versus AT&T. And I got to say, at least where we live, we have found Verizon to be superior to AT&T in terms of the coverage. That was not the case just a couple of years ago.
Yep. Yeah, it's been surprising. So, we don't endorse Verizon. We just talk about our experience with it.
Our customer service experience with Verizon has been mostly positive.
Mm-hmm.
When there's been a problem, they have solved it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always been the case with AT&T.
Yeah, and competently at that for Verizon. So,
indeed. Speaking of similar things, speaking of AT&T, boy, they're stepping up into the big time. Nobody thought this was going to happen. They have acquired Time Warner in an $85 billion deal. Now, a lot of consumer advocates were against this because, again, it's giving a single company that controls the pipeline control over the content.
Right.
And theoretically, this is what net neutrality is all about. Let's say there's a movie from Fox that you want to get over your AT&T line service. They might give you a worse speed for the Fox content in favor of their Time Warner content.
True. It's got to happen. Even though these companies deny net neutrality is supposedly dead, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now, Time Warner includes Warner Brothers, HBO, Turner, and several other media segments. And nobody's sure what the new company is going to be called. But we're getting there's concerns about duopolies or monopolies as these mega mergers start taking place. And this is nothing new.
Nope.
And so far,
Ma Bell was broken up.
Now, so far, the courts have ruled that this is not harming consumers.
It also we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Now, I do know because I got emailed once. We have at least one listener from the Netherlands.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, out of the Netherlands comes a story about a Dutch town. That is using high-tech streetlights to protect bats.
I love this.
The graphic
is great.
Any of these stories that we cover, you can check out Boomer Tech Radio Magazine on Flipboard. But the opening graphic to the story, it's got these happy cartoon bats.
Yeah, these happy animated bats superimposed over this street of streetlights. That's pretty cool. This comes from the Next Web.
Yeah, and the Dutch town of, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name. Zuidhoek hyphen Nieuwkoop.
I believe you could safely say that it ends in coup, but
yeah.
I don't speak.
Neoku. Yeah, I should contact my listener in
Flemish. Is
yeah,
that
well, no,
Dutch?
No,
anyway.
Dutch. It's
yeah,
Dutch.
Dutch.
Yeah. Yeah, people in the Netherlands live in Holland and they speak Dutch.
There we go.
Yeah.
So what makes this a unique deal?
Well, apparently, bats. Even though they have really lousy eyesight, street lights, the lights that come out of ordinary street lights, disturbs their internal sensors and affects their...
circadian rhythm, basically.
Yeah. Well, and also...
feeding patterns, their inner compass.
Apparently the bugs that they rely on for their food,
right.
It makes it harder for them to echolocate and catch the bugs.
Which hang around the lights.
Yeah. Bats typically feed on these bugs that swarm around the lights. Now, a company called Signify, which maybe you haven't heard of, but I'm sure you've heard their previous name, Philips.
Right.
Philips Lighting.
Yep.
They make things like the Hue light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
Philips Lighting has developed a special street light, along with a university there in the Netherlands. They designed a special light wavelength that doesn't interfere with the bats. Now, how do you find out if a light color is interfering with the bats?
That's what research
INS
is for.
INS system, I guess.
Yeah, that's what research is for and how they figured this out, right?
Yeah.
They are also proving to be beneficial to humans, although they don't specify why. They're beneficial to humans because their power footprint is... much smaller.
Right. These are LED lights. And you may have noticed that all over the country, those big, noisy mercury vapor or sodium vapor lights that draw hundreds of watts are being phased out in favor of light-emitting diode arrays that emit much less light. Remember sodium, the high-pressure sodium lights that had the really weird color spectrum? And you go into a store... the sun would go down, the lights would come on, and you couldn't find your car.
You had that experience in Hawaii where they have the yellowish street lights.
That orange colored
yeah,
light.
So that you're the observatory.
All the cars turned brown.
Pretty much came out and said, okay, that looks like the rig I was driving, but that's not the right color. I actually had to look inside the vehicle to make sure, you know, I had some stuff in there. Make sure the vehicle was one that I'd been driving. So the part of the concern about why they're working with these bats is that this town apparently happens to be in an area where there's a lot of rare vulnerable plant and animal species, and the bats, there's rare bat species, and of course bats around the world are having troubles anyway.
Extremely
for a variety.
Beneficial to
yeah,
us,
very
way.
Beneficial to the environment. Bats eat lots and lots and lots and lots of insects. So if you take bats out of the equation,
we'd
be have a lot more mosquitoes.
We would be up to our butts in bugs.
Pretty much. Well, somebody else would have to eat them.
Yeah.
The thing about bugs and bats is they both fly.
Yeah.
So the bugs can be caught in midair. I don't see a toad flying, so that's not happening, right? So it's kind of interesting how this is a case, you know, where humans come in and rearrange the environment and do things.
Right, right.
And this is a case of where they're working with the characteristics of the varmints so that the varmints can hang around the town.
Yeah, they are beneficial. And these are, you know, thinking outside the box and coming up. You know, technology doesn't always cause a lot of evil. It can also solve existing
yeah,
problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and, you know, these LED technologies didn't exist that long ago. If you were using traditional lighting systems that have been in place until LEDs came along, this would have been a much more difficult project. But they can actually control the lighting system. If one neighborhood needs more light than another,
right.
Then they can control the lighting accordingly, and of course the energy use as well.
So sort of like the Nest thermostat, which figures out when you're not at home, it
kinda
resets the temperature.
Yeah, keeps it at it's something
maybe
civil.
Maybe they need one of those because memos keep coming about remember to turn the air conditioning off when you leave the building.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Nest might be a good...
could be a good addition to the situation.
Could be a good fit for this situation,
yes.
Oh,
That's cool. I like bats. Bats are fascinating. They're very interesting creatures.
Fascinating creatures.
Unfortunately, in the United States specifically, and it came from Europe, the white nose fungus is invading a lot of bat colonies, and there have been some problems with that, and it's decimating certain bat colonies.
For everywhere else in the world except for the United States, the big news is, of course, the 2018 FIFA World Cup. What they call football, what we call soccer, and yawn and walk away and go watch the NFL.
Well,
although that
more
is changing.
That is changing because I think it's changing because a lot of kids are involved in it now, and so they have an interest, and the parents then develop an interest.
Apple is not ignoring this. They have launched a huge campaign called Behind the Mac, highlighting stories of people who use the Mac to solve problems, kind of like those. Microsoft Surface ads that we've been seeing.
Yeah, those were interesting.
This is the Mac version of that. Back with one more segment of Boomer Tech Radio right after these messages. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab. Faster for less.
Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SST Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Redding, 530-241-1167.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
And welcome back, Boomer Tech Radio. Hey, that catchy little theme song that we play during the show is called 8-Bit Junkie. We use it by permission from the PodSafe Music Network and the composer, a guy named George Wood. Nice fella, too. He answered my email.
Most congenially.
Yeah, in a very congenial manner. 10 years ago, almost. Hard to believe.
It is indeed.
Yeah. Now, we've talked about on this show. Now, there are people who, for whatever reason, don't want a smart speaker in the house. They don't feel it's necessary. They're creeped out about the possibilities of smart speakers.
They have no use for one. No problem.
I'll change my own darn TV's channel or whatever. We've actually got...
Or use a smartphone app for it.
I think it's next week, the new Fire Cube. We went ahead and ordered one because it was such a smoking deal. Because our Fire Stick, we discovered, now a Fire Stick is a little streaming device that you plug into your TV, and then you can get the Amazon video service wirelessly,
right.
And it works really well.
When it's cool enough.
We had it shut down on us, and a big thermometer appears on the screen.
This is I'm too hot. Of course, yeah. if you know about Reading climate at all, this is Reading. However, you hope your house is cooler than that, but it will overheat.
But the Fire Stick, and we have a first generation Fire Stick, crammed an off, and I think it was like $49.
Something.
We've
had
it like 3 years.
Yeah, it wasn't terribly expensive.
Crammed a huge amount of power into something the size of a USB drive. A little bit larger than that, because it's got an HDMI connector. And if you're not familiar with that, it's the flat one that's about about maybe 5/8 of an inch across and 1/8 of an inch thick. It looks like a very fat USB connector.
Yeah.
But don't try to force the USB into the HDMI.
That won't work very well.
The really confusing one is what's called a DisplayPort.
Yes.
A DisplayPort connector looks just like an HDMI.
Except
it has a little notch in it.
Has a notch in the corner.
And I have known people who have probably destroyed something trying to force. If it doesn't go easily, don't force it.
Yeah, that's
whatever
true.
You do.
Yeah.
Because you can cause a lot of damage. Anyway, we really like the Fire Stick, but we've ordered the Fire Cube, which is a little bit larger. It'll do 4K when we finally get around to making that jump. And it ties in with our smart speaker so that we can just say, I want to watch Netflix. Tune in the third season of Stranger Things on Netflix. What will it be on? that's one of our guilty pleasures, by the way, is Stranger Things. A lot of people enjoyed Stranger Things.
It's definitely strange.
Yep. however, a couple of senators. Now, we have both smart speakers in our house. We have both the Amazon Echo, and we have the Google Home. And we came by the Google Home as kind of an accidental thing because we were trying to set up the Google Home for a friend of ours who is blind. And it did not work out well because he is a willful Luddite.
Well, to that and his verbal syntax is not normal.
You have to talk in the way that the device is expecting.
Right. Not the way he normally communicates.
Yeah. Smart speakers are good, but they're not that good.
Yeah, not yet.
They're not quite to the level of Jarvis in the Iron Man movies.
There you go.
We're getting there, though. We have gone from the non-existent smart speaker to very capable systems. For example, this is the one I love to break out. You know how hard it is to set your alarm clock for different days, and if you forget, you can overslip. Our Google Home, we can simply say, "Hey, G, wake me up at 5 a.m. Monday through Thursday." Now, you think about what that simple sentence entails.
There's
for a computer to parse.
A lot of stuff in there.
And it did it.
Quickly.
Yeah. We discovered, though, that you do want to make sure that it every night or so, you check your alarm. Because after about 6 months, something happened, and I think it was an update, and we lost the programming.
Yep. Almost didn't wake up in time.
That's a minor quibble, though, to be honest with you.
I have no problem with that.
We've got the Wemo plug, so we can simply say bedroom on, bedroom off, on, living room off, which is kind of cool. No, I'm not too lazy to get up and go get the light switch. It's just that you can also put them on a timer, or you can override the timer. So it has a lot of little features. And these little Wemo plugs are like $49 for two of them, and they're getting cheaper all
the
time.
They will get cheaper, yeah. The thing about it is, though, we have one hooked to the Google Home and the other hooked to the Amazon Echo. There is a noticeable difference in performance.
Yeah. The Google Home seems to be a little more responsive. In our real-world testing, now these are not scientifically validated tests, but just in our experience, the Google Home, which looks like a fat salt shaker.
A really fat salt shaker.
Seems to be a little more responsive and a little better able to handle fairly complex commands. They both play pretty good sound for something that's relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some concern about smart speakers, possibly eavesdropping, and a lot of people have this fear that your smart speaker is listening to you and reporting every word to Big Brother. Now, a couple of senators are asking, how often do the Echo speakers misinterpret human commands and say, start recording private conversations without permission? There was a story 2 weeks ago.
Right, about the lady that they were talking about flooring or something.
Right.
And it got sent as an email to a friend. Or got sent as a message to a friend.
Right. Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona and Christopher Coons out of Delaware are pressing Mr. Jeff Bezos for answers on the smart speaker's listening habits, what the company is doing to protect privacy. They often place Alexa devices in very intimate spaces. They are leading the Judiciary Subcommittee on Privacy, Technology, and the Law. This is in the wake of that incident where a family discovered their Echo had recorded a private conversation and sent it to a random person in their contacts. There are risks of having an internet-connected microphone in the house. Amazon said that according to their diagnostics, the Echo woke up because it heard a word that sounded like Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, humorously enough, we have changed the name of our Echo from Alexa over to computer because Star Trek, you know. And every once in a while, whenever the word computer is mentioned at random in the house, the little blue ring lights up and, sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, I can't find that. Sometimes it keeps listening and just shuts off. Or there's something on television and the word comes up because it's near we can hear the television, if you will.
Yeah. So this story in the Washington Post, which we are showing in our Boomer Tech Radio flipboard list, it was supposedly a series of unfortunate events, according to Amazon, the senators, say that
they're not buying it. They're not satisfied with that explanation.
So they acknowledge Amazon has said it's considering options to make this unlikely to occur, but we are so early in this technology, and if you choose not to have this technology in the house, fine.
Oh, yeah.
I personally have nothing that I care about somebody overhearing.
Right.
I'm generally a fairly boring person.
Nothing juicy.
Nothing juicy. Nothing to see here, move on.
Yeah. Nothing to hear here, move on.
Well, did you when you were growing up, I know you didn't watch very much TV, but you were familiar with the series Gomer Pyle, USMC, right?
Of course.
Okay. What was his catchphrase?
Surprise, surprise, surprise. Yes.
According to a report.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Fewer people are relying on Facebook for their news.
Amazing. I'm so shocked. Note the sarcasm.
I'm sorry, but if you relied on Facebook as your sole source of news and information, shame on you. Shame on you.
Yep. Have to agree. So, it appears that people are moving away from the Facebook app, and they are going more towards messaging apps.
Right.
This was according to a 2018 Reuters Digital News report out Thursday.
For years, social media and Facebook using that, and Zuckerberg wanted Facebook to be the one. Remember,
he wanted Facebook to be the one source of information for all.
He wanted it to be news, information, social media, entertainment, everything through Facebook.
It's not really working out that way.
Well,
I think the consumer has kind of rebelled against Facebook. The consumer has said,
"Say what?" And this is, you know, sort of the safety catch in these things. Yeah, these companies try something, and then consumers, word gets out, and consumers say, "Really? Baloney. Not happening."
Yeah.
Overall, use of Facebook for news has declined by 6%. Use of messaging apps, however, is increasing, especially secure messaging apps. If you say your political views on an open network, it could result in a unpleasant visit from some individuals in uniform. So these secure encrypted, in fact, I think it's was it Turkey or Egypt? One of them has outlawed the use of it's Russia outlawed the use of Telegram, which is a secure messaging app. In other words, Your stuff is encrypted.
I was thinking they don't let people send telegrams.
It's an app called Telegram.
Yeah.
One interesting finding from the study is people use different platforms for discovery of news versus news engagement. Many survey participants cite using Facebook or Twitter to find news stories that then they will share through messaging apps. And here's the thing, and the big danger of social media as news distribution, a rumor. And the biggest example of this was the fake tweet that reported that a bomb had gone off in the White House.
Right, and that shut the stock market into a tizzy.
Right, the stock started to plunge until a sort of circuit breaker kicked in and halted trading. Wait a minute, let's see what we've got here. But millions of dollars changed hands in a fraction of a second. And, of course, some people say, well, this proves why we can't rely on computers for anything. Well, we're in a world where that is not a reality.
Yeah, try as you might, that isn't going to happen.
If you want to go all Ted Kaczynski and go live in a cave somewhere, fine, that's your business. Good luck finding a cave that you can legally.
I was going to say, don't be in a rush now. There's not very many available.
Yeah, caves are sort of at a premium.
Right.
And they're dark and they're dank and they're smelly. Who knows what might have been living in there before you. Don't be in a big, big hurry to, let's see here, I'm trying to get the story to come up. Don't be in a big hurry to update your iOS device to 11.4. I don't think I've done that. I may have done that. I haven't noticed any problem, but some people are reporting that their battery life, and this is one of Brenda's pet peeves.
Something's using
every time
my battery.
She updates her phone, something kicks in and starts chewing on her battery.
Yeah, it turns on something that chews up my battery. It's like, really, people? Really? Why can't it keep the settings it had? Or why do you have it using that automatically?
Yeah.
It just annoys me.
Some people have reported that after the update, previously they were losing about 10% overnight if they didn't charge every night. After the update, would go from 100% to by morning there was nothing left. And this is while doing nothing. So what's gone wrong with the update?
Right.
So I usually wait, and whenever there's a major update, I wait until the first patch comes out. Because you've got 4 point, this is 11.4, I would usually wait until 11.4.1, you know, because they have to go
right,
back and fix the problem.
They'll fix the problem. Yep. You know, why? I don't understand why this isn't tested before it ever leaves the factory, so to speak. This is not something that they couldn't figure out ahead of time. And so I don't get how come they release this junk out there. And then, oh, sorry, send you a repeat.
Yeah. Supposedly, this is happening due to background synchronization services, when it goes to backup. See, Apple likes to hide stuff from you. Wants everything to take place behind the curtain.
you're just supposed to use
Windows
the icon.
Windows does this, too.
Don't worry about it.
Hideous hidden updates.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your computer goes slow, and you don't know. When you and I've noticed this when I edit video.
There's no indication.
All of a sudden, everything gets off.
Yeah, and there's absolutely no indication of what's going on. You kind of learn to recognize the symptoms. The system's symptoms. Yep, for sure.
Now, Apple's currently public beta testing 11.4.1, and that will maybe be something. And that's an unusually short cycle for an update, so obviously they are aware that something didn't go quite right. And the trouble is, a lot of these updates... every phone has a slightly different configuration based on the number of apps that are vying for attention. Now, I personally, on my Galaxy Note, do not have Facebook or the Messenger app.
Hmm.
It runs fine on my iPad. Doesn't chew up the battery. But on my Android phone, Facebook was just decimating my battery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a fairly heavy user, but I could not, when I had Facebook installed, I couldn't get through a full day. Which is nonsense because the Note 8 has a gigantic battery.
Right. Yep.
And let's see here. USA Today has an interesting article about, and some of these are going to be nonsensical, 15 tech upgrades you can get for free. Now, there's a lot of services that have online storage in the cloud, and this is kind of handy. And I know that Dropbox gives you like two gigabytes of storage, something like that. And then you can buy additional storage, or when you recommend friends, you get a little extra storage, which is really good for passing back and forth big files, because most emails will let you pass no more than a 5 meg file, which is nothing anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing, right? And why is that? Is it just volume bandwidth that they...
I think that the infrastructure that emails go through doesn't lend itself to gigantic attachments. So iCloud is one way to do it. Amazon Prime, iCloud gets an initial 5 gigabytes of storage. You can buy more. Actually, though, the iCloud is also backing up your device. So if you have a 16-gig tablet, and it tries to totally back up to the cloud, you run out of space.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon Prime gives you 5 gigs of Amazon Cloud Drive space for free. You can store an unlimited number of photos. The downside of that is that your photos are all going into that big Amazon database.
Yeah, some people don't like that.
Yeah. Well, they need to make it a little bit smarter because there have been some unfortunate incidents in the Amazon photo database.
Well, yeah, but... those kind of hacking seem to be
Well, this was an
minimal
algorithm
at the moment,
problem where the software that was supposed to identify individuals misidentified drastically a couple of individuals, and there were a lot of red faces. It actually misidentified these individuals as non-human.
Mm.
So,
Did the automatic guns come out of the ceiling?
Yeah. Now, if you just can't handle the cost of Microsoft Office, there's a couple of solutions there. I am still a fan of OpenOffice, which used to be put out by Oracle. It's kind of off on its own. But
still very viable, though.
Still very viable.
They do updates.
They do updates. I use Google Docs for my word processing. But on for people who have just an older style computer and they just want to do some basic word processing, they don't need all the Microsoft bells and whistles. Either LibreOffice or OpenOffice work just fine. Do 99% of the stuff that you want to do. Very capable programs, and they don't cost you anything.
Yep, that's a good thing.
If you use Photoshop, you know that it is not a cheap proposition. If you add, if you buy it through Adobe, I think a year subscription to Adobe Photoshop is a couple of hundred bucks. There is a free alternative Photoshop called GIMP, which stands for New, that's GNU, Image Manipulation Program. Has a lot of the capabilities of Photoshop, filters, tools, gradients, smudging, all that stuff. It was originally developed under the Linux system, but there are versions available for MS-DOS, versions available for Windows.
Uh-huh.
Audiobooks, there are free audiobooks available out there. There's a site that will send you free samples. So if you do, if you're willing to do a little, now, in a lot of these things, your if you want to know if you're getting what you're paying for, this is a nice freebie that I use all the time. Speedtest.net and speakeasy.net are two ways to speed test your connection. And I use that typically when I'm trying to troubleshoot our home system. I know that we're supposed to be getting around 18 megabits a second, which is pretty sad, actually, given the fact that 25 is supposed to be the benchmark for high-speed Internet.
And if you have some cable connectivity, it'd be 100.
Yeah, we were looking, we were shopping, actually, some services, and 100 megabits I could definitely live with. Now, I know people who are getting 500 megabit service off of fiber. It's like, fire.
Jealous.
Yeah. And Netflix has their own free internet speed test at fast.com. Now, that'll check your download speeds, but it'll tell you if your Netflix movies are stuttering, you can check and see if it is something internal to your entertainment system or if you've got a problem with your connection. Could be maybe. Now, one of the things you can do if you're having problems with your internet connection, and we've said this before, and it's a good security measure. Unplug your router and leave it alone for about 10 minutes and then plug it back in.
Yep.
And that may clear up, at, I don't know how many times we've had
cobwebs.
Real problems with our streaming. And doing that simple thing, unplug the router. Usually it's a small plug in the back of your router. If you don't know where it is, ask a 12-year-old to go find it.
Google the model online.
Yeah. Pull the power plug out. You won't hurt it. And what you do if you wait 10 minutes is that it resets all the internals.
Kind of clears its brain.
Yeah, it's a good cup of coffee for your computer.
Yeah.
and NASA has freebie stuff. They've got images, software, products, and they've got... this is stuff that your tax dollars have developed, and now it is available in the public domain. And the NASA image of the day is just absolutely
something stunning, yes, or different anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
And here's one of my great choices. If you've got tapes or records or something that you want to get into a digital format, or maybe you want to create a podcast, when we create the podcast for this show and when we do commercials here at this radio station, we rely on the Audacity Sound Editor program, which is available for the wonderful price of absolutely free. You can record live audio and computer playback. You can change speed. You can compress. You can edit. Do all this stuff. It is one of the top-performing free programs, and it's always my go-to for editing audio files.
Yep. And finally, you can get some free firewalls, too, to help with your virus and malware protection.
That's all the time we've got. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.